Well, it's a joy to finish up our sermon series of being in focus, being united together in evangelism, and for us to sing that song. When Craig put it on the list, I had memories of flashbacks of being in my grandparents' home and my grandmother singing that song, at least the chorus, many times over. And now that I see all the words of every hymn, you know, every stanza, maybe she was praying amid the chaos to count her many blessings, you know? There were three of us. There was three boys. And no, I know she and my grandfather were very strong in their faith, and I know they wanted us to believe the same. And so it is a joy to be talking this morning about the last several verses of Luke chapter 10. And we've seen so far in this journey that Jesus has really shown there's a great opportunity for evangelism, that the harvest is plentiful. We talked our second week that we need to be fully devoted disciples that also multiply and go as well as learn. We talked that we must, in this process of going and telling others the good news about Jesus, we must be people that are praying. And then last week we talked about the command to go and to invite. And so as we're going, as verse 3 says, we need to invite others to saving faith in Jesus. But now this morning, we're going to kind of unpack the several verses that remain that you might kind of scratch your head and go, what was Jesus asking them to do in Luke chapter 10? And the best way that I can kind of sum up the last several verses here in Luke chapter 10 is that we have been blessed by Jesus in order to bless others. We have been blessed to be a blessing. And so if you've heard the songs this morning, there's a theme. Did you notice the theme? Right? And especially the last one, count your many blessings. At the top of that list, as I told our children, the top blessing of all blessings is that we have been given salvation that is found in Jesus Christ alone. And that every time we come back to the list, right, every day you could probably make a list of all the blessings that God has given you, right? From ice cream to Legos to a house over your head to air conditioning when it's going to get to 90 degrees today. But on top of that list, every day, if you are a follower of Christ, is that you've received the blessing, the free gift of salvation that comes through Jesus Christ alone. And you are blessed because, as the Bible makes it clear, because of our sin, we were enemies of God. Yet God sent Jesus to take on sin, to be our propitiation, to take away the penalty of our sin and give us eternal life, to give us the forgiveness of the sins that we didn't deserve. We went from being enemies to being friends of God. The relationship was made right. And so that is truthfully the blessing of all blessings. And so this morning, as we look at chapter 10 here again in Luke, we're going to see that we are blessed to bless others. And we're going to unpack these words Jesus says here. Let's read again in Luke chapter 10, verse 1. He says this, "After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him two by two into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, "Peace to this house." And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon it. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town.'" So what is happening here? How does that connect to what we're going to talk about today, that we are blessed to be a blessing? Well, first, I want us to see that we are blessed in Christ to be a blessing to others. And in unpacking that, just kind of one step removed from that, is that we have to understand that we sacrificially and joyfully obey Jesus. We sacrificially and joyfully obey Jesus, right? We talked a couple weeks ago, being a fully devoted disciple means that we follow Jesus, especially when we know that cost us something. It's a sacrifice. In chapter 9, we see that Jesus says in verse 23, "And he said to all, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it.' Jesus' command is for us to follow him, but in that follow him, we are laying down our life so that we might find that we have life in Jesus. It's a life of sacrifice. So much so, as we look here in Luke chapter 10, we see his command, right? Look at this in verse 3. Go your way. Okay, that sounds normal. Jesus is telling me to go. But then he says, behold, I'm sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Jesus' command is I'm going to send you out into enemy territory. I'm going to send you out as a blood in the water and there are sharks. You are a lamb in the midst of wolves. I'm calling you to go, and also don't carry anything with you. No money, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Man, Jesus is not calling us to go camping in the cabin. He's not even telling us to go camping with a tent. He's actually saying, just go. Go and trust me in the process. You spend enough time on a road trip, you start asking yourself funny questions to see what the answers would be, right? So like, what would you have on a deserted island if you could have two things, right? You know, you kind of go through the list, well, I have this or that, I'll just have Jesus, right? But the reality, right, Jesus is saying here, if you're going to follow me and be sent out, I don't want you to take anything because I want you to be fully dependent on me. I want you to rely on me. It's almost as if he's asking these 72 that are being sent out, do you trust me? In his best Aladdin voice to Jasmine, do you trust me? Right? Or if you're a Titanic person, right? Jack or Rose, do you trust me? Right? That's supposed to get a laugh, kind of funny. No? No? Do you trust? I mean, that's really what Jesus is asking of these people that he's sending out, these 72 others. Do you trust me? Do you trust me? Do you really trust me with everything? Because I think if we can honestly admit, this is like an impossible task. But he's calling these disciples to have faith in Jesus for everything. For everything. And I think it's hard for us at times because we're like, I will follow Jesus, but I want to make sure my bank account's okay first. And we saw that in Luke chapter 9, that people are worried about where they're going to rest their heads, right? Where they're going to take care of their family at home, right? Like there's things in this life that are of importance. But Jesus is saying, I need to be of first importance. In Timothy, Paul writes and says this, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so they may take hold of that which is truly life. Martin Luther said this, I have had many things in my hands, and I have lost them all. But whatever I have been able to place in God's hands, I still possess. And I think that's a picture of what Jesus is calling the disciples here that he's sending out. He's calling us to have our hands open and placed into his hands and saying, I trust you in whatever you're about to ask me to go do. Because we are lambs in the midst of wolves. We are carrying nothing with us, but we are going. We have been provided for by Jesus to go and share, and that's what we are called to do here. But when we go, we don't just go with nothing in our mouths, right? Look in verse 5. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house. We are blessed by Jesus because we experience the peace that is found when he is our Savior and Lord. Throughout the whole Bible, specifically here in the New Testament, in Luke, peace is not just a saying that brings situational comfort, all right? Like, I hope you have peace in that one moment. No, this peace is life-altering peace that is found because you deserved punishment, exile, and hell as a consequence of your sins. But in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior has come, and you've experienced forgiveness, and your life and your relationship with God has found peace. It's been made right. In Luke, right, we say peace to this house. This is the message that these people are carrying, that we should carry as we go out into this world, that there's peace found in Jesus Christ. This message of peace is throughout the New Testament. In Luke 2:14, the angels appear to the shepherds, and they sing, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Again, later in Luke in 24, Jesus says this. He himself stood among them after he was resurrected, and he said to them, peace to you. And similarly in John 14, right? Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Again, in the Great Commission in John, we see in John 20, 21, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." And we see in the book of Acts, right, as the church is spreading the good news, it says in Acts chapter 10, it says, "As for the word that he sent to Israel, they were preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all." The message that the early church was spreading, the gospel, was about the peace according to Jesus Christ. And so ultimate, everlasting, eternal peace is found in Jesus Christ alone. All right, so as the message of these disciples going into these houses, their first message is to say, "Peace to this house." They're bringing the peace that's found in Jesus. And so all of us, everyone that's ever existed besides Jesus, has had a sin problem. The relationship with God makes us, because of our sin, an enemy. And that enemy, we were on the wrong side of the equation, right? We do not have peace, but we deserve punishment for our sins. But in Christ, we have been reconciled and justified, sanctified, and glorified in Jesus. So we were enemies of God, and as we've sang in a song recently, we are now, because of Jesus, seated at God's table as a friend forever. And that's peace. That our broken relationship with God has been made right, has been made whole, it's been perfected in Jesus Christ. And so we experience this peace because of Christ. We can see this throughout the Bible too, that what we experience, right? If we've experienced this peace, that should be on our lips. The same way that Abraham, as he's called by God to go into a foreign country, he's blessed to be a blessing. In Genesis 12, 1 through 3, it says this: "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and in him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" We see this is the pattern throughout the Bible, that we have been blessed to bless others. It goes all the way back, right, to Abraham here. He is told, right, later that count the number of the stars in the sky, and that's how many descendants you're going to have. But the end result is not that Abraham and the blessing stops with him. That the reality is that he is blessed, as verse 2 says here in Genesis 12, so that you will be a blessing. That through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And so for all of us, there should be, as we consider what Jesus is calling these disciples to, right? They're supposed to show up and say peace to this house. For us, when we enter a room, we do the same thing. We bring the peace of Christ with us as followers of Jesus. And so if we just stop and think for a moment, what are often the first things that come out of your mouth or out of your actions? You know, like, are you more known for your political commentary or maybe your thoughts about sports or what you do in finance or in your job? Or is it coming out of your lips that Jesus, there's peace to be found there? This morning, as we think about counting our blessings, as we sing that song, right, were you thinking more about the blessings that you receive and then it stops right there? Or are you thinking about, hey, I've been blessed by Jesus so that I might bless others? And Jesus makes it clear, out of the overflow of our heart, our mouth speaks. So what is overflowing out of your heart? As we think about Jesus' command here, right, to these disciples, go and whatever house you enter, whatever house, say peace to this house. That's the first priority, right? The gospel to be shared. We are blessed to be a blessing. We are also, as we see here in these next few verses, we are not supposed to be self-seeking as we bless others. We're not supposed to be self-seeking as we bless others. Look with me here. Verse 10, chapter 10, verse 7. It's going to sound kind of interesting because it's like, what is Jesus really calling us to do here? Verse 7. "After we have said peace to this house," and there's a son of peace there, they'll rest upon him, "but if not, it'll return to you." Verse 7, "and remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house." All right, we just stop there. So this sounds kind of interesting. Jesus is sending out 72 others. Whatever house you're there, say peace to this house. And you're thinking, if he's sending us out with evangelism, right, to share the gospel, we should knock on every door. Right? Well, we should. And what Jesus is saying in verse 7 is not to stop doing that. But in verse 7, he's saying, whatever house you are at and they offer you food and drink, you eat it, you are thankful because God has provided food for you, but don't start talking to them and say, hey, I was hoping to have a steak. Do you know you're vegetarian? Okay. Do you know someone down the road that's making a little bit more money so we can get better food? So Jesus is calling you not to be self-seeking, to go, okay, it's nice to meet you, but you know what? You live in Park Place in Midlothian, and I need somebody in Texana where the gated community, can you get me in there? Right? Like, oh, you don't have a pool? Oh, can you find somebody with a pool? I'd like to stay there. All right, because Jesus has sent out these disciples, these 72, and he said, don't take anything with you. No knapsack, no money. And so he's basically telling them, don't go to a town and then start trying to find who's better in town to take care of your needs. Don't be self-seeking, all right? So we bless others instead of trying to self-seeking, right? We're not doing this with judgment, all right? That's what the Bible makes very clear. Jesus, in Luke 14, actually says this. He said also to a man who had invited him, he said, when you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. And so we don't, even in that example, we don't serve others in order for what we get out of it. All right, so we are blessed in Christ with salvation, and we want to share that salvation, but we're not sharing it so that we get some kind of kickback from it. All right, that's clear in the Bible. But we also should not be self-seeking of even the experience of blessing others. Look with me in Luke chapter 10, verse 17. We actually see the 72 return. In Luke 10, 17, it says, the 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. If we just stop there, if you were part of the 72, you were like pumped up, like, yeah, I've got authority, Jesus' power, man. Demons are being cast out, and he just told me I could trample on snakes and scorpions. There's some of the girls in the room probably like, I don't want to do that, right? Some of the dudes are like, whoa, that's cool. Yeah, that's right. But listen what Jesus says. All those things are good. Verse 20. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. We rejoice in blessing others. We rejoice in the fruits of ministry, but our rejoicing is not just in the results of the ministry that's happening through us. The thing that we should result, the rejoice in the most is that we have salvation, that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that is enough. That is enough. And so blessings coming from fruitful ministry to others, right? That's what the disciples are seeing. There's fruit from what you've called us to do. And in the disciples, it's almost like, I did that. Or I experienced that. And that's maybe the more humble way to put it, right? I experienced this, Jesus. It was so cool. And really, we can all think about life and fruitful experiences in the life of the local church where it's like, man, wasn't it awesome when? I think about my life, you know, moments in youth group or moments in college or church planting with Crystal in Minnesota. I mean, just experiencing fruitful times in ministry and going, man, it was awesome. I want more of that. But what Jesus says here is that all of those are blessings of being a part of the mission, but the ultimate thing is rejoicing in our salvation. That we aren't self-seeking in blessing others. We are being blessed by Jesus, that our name is written in this book in heaven, that we have salvation in Christ, and that's enough. And so we are blessed to bless others. We aren't self-seeking, but we also, in blessing others, wherever we go, we bring the kingdom of God near. Let's look again at Luke 10. In Luke 10, we see already in verse 1, Jesus was soon to come behind these disciples. Luke 10, 1, after the Lord appointed the 72 others and sent them on ahead two by two into every town and place where he himself was about to go. Jesus was following them, right? This is for them. Jesus is following them. He'll be coming behind. And so when the disciples are sent into these homes, hey, the kingdom of God is near. They're giving the message of hope, of peace, but they're also giving the reality, Jesus is not too far behind us. All right, that's for them. They also, in Luke 10, verse 9, it says, Jesus says, heal the sick in it and say to them, the kingdom of God is near to you. How many of us in the room this morning are learners when we see things? Anybody? Like, you got to see it to know it, yeah? In some ways, when we look at Luke 10, 9, we see this command, heal the sick in it, and it really proves who Jesus was and what he was doing. All right, so throughout the New Testament, you'll see over and over again, specifically through Jesus or the power of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, people are healed, right? Miracles happen, demons are cast out. And so these signs, these miracles, point towards validating who Jesus was. And you might be thinking, hey, why can't I just go knock on someone's door and cast out a demon? Well, through the power of the Holy Spirit, I believe you can, but it's most likely not going to happen all the time. All right, so I just want to say that here is a special time and a special place for the Holy Spirit to move, for Jesus to be validated, who he is, his messiahship is shown to us. And so I'm not going to tell you this morning, go out and seek miracles. But can it happen? Sure. But we see here that the Holy Spirit working through Jesus and the disciples, right, their miracles are happening. The kingdom is being brought near. For us, Jesus is with us now, in us. The Holy Spirit is working through us. And as Paul says, we are a fragrance. Like, he goes with us. Look in 2 Corinthians 2:14, it says this, but thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and spreads through us the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. We bring with us what Paul is saying. Because of Jesus Christ in us and the Holy Spirit at work within us, we make it stink all around us. In a good way. I was walking our dog the other day, and I don't know if it was somebody's air freshener or their laundry detergent or something, but it was filling up the entire street. It was one of those like, whoo! I'm like, are they living in that? Because that smells something fierce, you know? But it was a fragrance. I had to do something with it. All right, another way to think about this aura that's around us through the power of the Holy Spirit is, if you're a Charlie Brown fan, Linus, right? He's always walking around that cloud of dust. All right? Instead of dust that's around us, it's the glory that's found in the Holy Spirit. Pigpen, not Linus. There we go. You're better Charlie Brown fans than I am. But it goes around with us, right? That we are filled with the Holy Spirit, and there should be a recognition between people around us that this would be true, that the kingdom of God has come near because we have entered into a room. That the Holy Spirit working through us should be evident to others around us. And so, I don't know about you, but when we live a blessed life, if you want to do a hashtag, blessed life, right? Blessed life now, maybe. That's good. That'll trend. But what we're talking about in Christ is not wealthy or being wise or successful in the world's eyes. What we're talking about is having the blessing of faith in Jesus Christ. And so, where we display this Jesus to the world, right, it's overflowing of what he's doing in us. And there is blessing in Christ, and there's also blessing of the local church displaying Christ, all right? So this is where it all comes together. That if we're going to bring into focus, the reality is that there is blessing and having faith in Jesus Christ. But when we gather together at 200 Long Branch Road as the local body of believers, we should display Jesus to everyone. To anybody that walks in the door, as we're sent out, as we're in our community, as the local church, we are displaying Jesus. 1 John 4:12 puts it this way. No one has ever seen God. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Verse 12, the beginning, no one has ever seen God. But then it says, if we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. So here's the reality. Like, we can't flip a switch and all of a sudden we can see God. But the reality is it says here, if we love one another, the relationship that we have with one another in this room this morning should reflect God who abides in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And he says his love is perfected in us, together, all of us. There should be a compelling nature of who we are as a church that when anybody joins us on a Sunday or a Wednesday or a small group or anything, people go, something's different there. What's different is the fact that we love one another because God abides in us. If we want to show people who God is, they should look at how we relate to one another and how we love one another. And if we're honest, there are times where if you look around, you go, you know, I don't know if I love everybody in this room. But through the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us, we are able to love one another because we are different. And the Lord works through us to bring us together, to be unified together. And so our church is a beacon of blessing that is found in Jesus Christ, us coming together because we love one another. And so God is seen through us, at work within us. And so Long Branch, LCBC, is a lighthouse of Jesus here in Midlothian and Waxahachie, right? So we must love one another. And so I think there's just a few applications, right? Number one, we need to continue to be known by love and love for one another. We need to be known for our love of God to, and also towards one another, which is what we do well. I'll be honest, there are times when I interact with guests and I talk to them and they go, hey, this is the only church that really has talked to us. And I can only tell you that that's God working in and through us because I could tell you to do things over and over again, but just like your parents growing up, if your parents always told you to do something, what did you want to do? The opposite. Right? Amen? Amen, all right? But the Holy Spirit at work and within us draws us to one another in love, but also towards others. Let us also, if we're going to love, be known by our love, we need to continue, as Hebrews 10 says, to meet together regularly face to face. We need to know that the Bible calls us to do life together, personally. And so you can't always be in the same seat week in and week out. You got to take vacations and go places in life. And really, technology is good, right? Our video is good, but it cannot replace being together. Because if we're called to display God, to display Jesus to the world, we can't do that if we're all separate in different places. We do that when we gather together. So we got to continue to do that. We also need to eagerly greet and interact and pursue others with the blessing that we've received in Christ. All right, so we're going to wrap up this sermon series, and it would be wrong for us to go, okay, done, we're good, we talked about evangelism, and now we're good. But we have to continue to see that God has blessed us in Jesus Christ to bless others. And so I want to bring it in focus, like we've done each week. How are we going to apply this to our lives? And I want to do this in a couple of ways, personally, and in smaller groups at our church, and in our church as a whole. And so personally, I'm going to ask you, have you been praying for your street name? A couple of weeks ago, we had street names all over the wall. They're not there anymore. I have them up here if you haven't gotten one. And I want to challenge you to take one of those and be invested in praying for it. I have Allison Drive right here that I've been praying for. And so I want us to personally be convicted and challenged to pray over that. Week in and week out, that street would be changed, that the kingdom of God would be brought near in that street. I also last week talked about inviting, right? Inviting someone to know Jesus. So the question is, who is your one? And we have this prayer guide. There's 30 days that you can fill in their name, that one person. Do you want to see come to know Jesus? Over the next 30 days, you can pray for them specifically. So there's that tool. Personally, are you praying for your street name? Are you seeking out who God wants you to share with? And then personally, as we think about this morning, you've been blessed to be a blessing to others. Are you generous with the blessing that you've received in Christ? With your time, with your talents, with your treasures, everything that Jesus has given you, are you blessing others so that they might know Jesus as their Savior? Next, I want to see in our small groups, right? If we think about evangelism, it should happen individually. It should also happen in our small groups, so our Bible studies. Our Bible study leaders and teachers in the room and everybody that's involved in Bible studies on Sunday mornings, I really want you to ask this question in the coming weeks. How can we, as a Bible study group, be a blessing to people outside of our four walls? In our Connect group, right, on Wednesday night, we gather together to connect with God in prayer and with others in accountability and fellowship. In our Connect group, specifically on Wednesday, April 6th and Wednesday, April 13th, we're going to be going into our neighborhood next door, and we're going to be hanging on those doors just the real fact that we are praying for our neighbors. And so we're going to go and be a part of that. And I'm going to invite you, if you don't regularly come to our Connect group on Wednesday, this is a great time to come. We'll have people that will go next door and be praying in front of houses and putting on door hangers. And we'll have a group that'll stay here at the chapel that'll be praying for our team that is going. Okay, so that's April 6th, April 13th. And if we are going to be a blessing to bless others in Christ, it's got to begin personally. It's got to begin in our groups. And as a church family, lastly, if we're going to be a blessing to our community, we're going to host specific programs and events. But I just want to hear you to hear this morning, that we can't just be an event-based church and expect that individuals will come to Christ, right? Like if we all put our eggs in the basket of Good Friday or all into the basket of VBS or everything into Fall Festival, those are good events that help us connect with our community to show the hope that's found in Jesus. But all of it together, personally, in our groups, as a church, when we realize we're a blessing, we've received the blessing of Christ to go and be a blessing to others, all of this will work together. And so as a church, we'll continue to do that, right? We'll show a video next week of Good Friday, something you can invite your friends, family to experience what happened on the last few hours of Jesus' life before he died. But there's also moments, right, you individually and as a group, that we need to be doing all of this together to be a blessing to others. So this morning, as we come to a close, right, this sermon series, I probably could talk about this every Sunday, but I also think we probably need to keep moving, right? Easter's coming, so we'll talk about Easter. But to really just sum everything up, we as Long Branch need to be a church that is constantly praying, constantly inviting, constantly blessing others with the good news that Jesus can be their Savior. We pray, invite, and bless. That's our strategy for this year, right? So I'll come back to this over and over again, that this is what we want to do. We want to pray for others. We want to invite others. We want to bless others for the sake of them knowing Jesus as their Savior. This morning, as we come to a time of invitation, maybe this morning is the first morning in your life that you recognize, I need to know the blessing that's found in Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of my sins. And so if that's you this morning, come down and talk to me. Maybe this morning you want to join our church or be baptized. I'd love to talk to you as well. Whatever God is calling you to do, right? As the Holy Spirit works on your life this morning, if you're not coming down to do those things, maybe you want to take the step of praying for a street or committing to pray for one person to know Jesus. Whatever it is, I pray that we will take seriously this command in Luke chapter 10, that the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few, and that we at Long Branch would step in and go, that's us. Let us pray, invite, and bless others. Let's pray.